Hi, this is Kara Lawrence with WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. Thanks for joining me. There's something unusual about the Acropolis Reed Quintet. It's so close to the standard wind quintet that it's easy to overlook at first. Oboe? Check. Clarinet? Check. Bassoon? Check. Wait. Bass clarinet and saxophone? Where's the flute and French horn? I recently spoke to Matt Landry of the Acropolis Reed Quintet, winner of the gold medal at the 2014 Fischoff competition, which performs Thursday and Friday night at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. Well, Matt, I'm a flute player, and you know, I'm feeling a little left out of your little club.
Well, you have plenty of places to play, don't you? As a flutist, there's certainly the woodwind quintet, the traditional woodwind quintet. Tons of great music for that, and tons of wonderful solo rep. And Bach wrote a beautiful flute A minor piece that we actually play on saxophone too. So no complaining is going to be tolerated from the flute community. We're a reed quintet. We're the Acropolis Reed Quintet. So we have five reed instruments, there are a lot of different instruments around the world that play reeds that can sometimes even be called flutes. But for us, we're going to stick with oboe, bassoon, saxophone, bass clarinet, and then regular B-flat clarinet. So we have a certain level of unity to there being five reed instruments. And then also the five instruments that I named are also unique. You know, they have their unique sounds. So people have really, really warmed up to this new reed quintet thing. So we really like what's going on, despite not having a flute. And we think everybody's really going to enjoy the way it sounds.
You know, I think you've got a point in that you can all commiserate about the same thing, and that is reeds and reed making in the same group. Now, you guys all started hanging out together at University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, right?
That's correct. We're in our sixth year together. So that was early 2009 at the University of Michigan. We were at various levels of completing our undergraduate degrees in music. Mine is actually in music teaching as well. And then since then, people have done masters and gone on to start doctorate degrees in various places. But Ann Arbor is basically home for us. And so actually we don't perform too much in Michigan anymore. We are booked all over the country. So it's pretty exciting actually to be pretty close to home. This feels very nice.
If you don't mind telling me, where am I reaching you today, a few days before your concert in Saugatuck?
Well, I'm actually in Detroit right now. I have a day job in Detroit when I'm not supermanning as a classical musician. And I'm actually on the 18th floor here at a high-rise downtown in Detroit, in the beautiful city of Detroit. We have one member still living in Ann Arbor. Carrie and I live nearby in Northville. Ryan will be doing his doctorate down in Florida at Florida State University, and Tim will be at Yale finishing up an artist diploma after his master's degree. So we're kind of long distance, but we get together quite frequently to rehearse, obviously in person. So. It's sort of a long distance music love relationship we all have right now. It's fun, and we do a lot of work over the computer and over Skype. And not being able to play together so much actually gives us a lot of time to do a lot of our other youth initiatives that go beyond just performing. So it has its advantages.
Well, even though you guys are somewhat disparate at the moment, what's it like when you get together and start rehearsal? About how long does it take before you all finally hit that perfectly glorious chord where you all sound like one instrument, like an organ or something?
Well, when's the concert Thursday? hopefully around 6:30 or 7 o'clock on Thursday, we'll be getting into gear. Let's give it a couple days. It's not going to happen immediately, no matter how long you've been playing together, no matter, you could even, I feel like you could even bring the five best reed players together in the whole world, and it would still take a couple of days. When we move around the country, everybody's going to start playing in different pitch centers. I mean, minuscule differences, but based on the temperatures and then people's reads, and you get together and you just have to get used to each other again. I would say that the time that it takes is definitely getting less and less. We feel very confident about sort of incubating our rehearsals. And actually, a lot of chamber music ensembles act the same way we do when it comes to these more intense rehearsal periods, because it forces you to be responsible for being prepared. And that's when you have a maestro with a baton and a great orchestra, you sort of have different motivations and influences for being prepared. But ours is entirely intrinsic and self-motivated. And so then when we get together, the expectation is we need to be able to put this together as quickly as possible. And at the concert Thursday and Friday, people are going to hear some repertoire that we've been playing for a long time. And that certainly helps. but we also have a Schumann piece that we're going to play, and this will be the first time we're performing it. And we've been doing lots of study on Schumann and on his piano pieces and on performance practices for Romantic and late Romantic era music in order to be prepared for our rehearsals as well. It'll be a lot of fun.
So when you entered the 2014 Fischoff competition, it's one of the very biggest chamber music competitions in North America, in the world, really. Were you going in for fun, or were you already gunning for the gold?
I think when we first went to the competition in 2010, we were going for fun. And when we went again in 2012, we were hoping we'd win. And then when we went back, this past May in 2014, we were expecting to win, and that is not something that you can do unless you are experienced enough to know what the competition entails. It's a very grueling competition, and we really, really wanted to do well. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gone back three times. It is a very prestigious competition, but at the same time, you have to go as an artist, and you have to go for the joy of music, but you have to compete as well. It's a little awkward in that way. You certainly don't do art to be judged or to win or lose. But the groups that go are on the verge of very serious professional careers, and there's a lot at stake as well. We hope that it is a great boost to our book ability, if you will, and that we can secure some engagements around the country equally as amazing as this Saugatuck performance and performances will be to help promote chamber music and the awesome non-flute, including reed quintet, as well.
So. You've also been recognized by the Fischoff organization as great educators of young people. I understand you'll be doing a tour related to that.
That's correct. Yeah. So we were selected for their completely unrelated prize. It has nothing to do with the chamber music competition, except that you have to be an alumni of the competition to be selected for the educator award. And there's hundreds of alumni. So that award comes with a cash prize, but also more importantly, a tour that we set up along with Fischoff Organization in the South Bend area, so not too far from you guys. And also, you know, the South Side, you know, like southern parts of Chicago, and then the South Bend area, basically to go to as many schools and reach as many children as we can, mostly in the elementary ages, getting up in the middle school as well, and just share music, play music for them, teach them about our instruments, just try to spark a love of music and really in the arts in general. That's basically the goal. They have a very cool program called the Sam I Am program, where we're actually going to perform music along with a children's book that's being read. So it's basically going to be theatrical music. We've been educating since we started.
You know, it occurs to me that in playing for children, a reed quintet, well, they could be blown over by sheer volume of sound. I mean, reed instruments were outdoor instruments historically.
Yeah, absolutely, and by the way the instruments look, a lot of the students are very they've never seen a bassoon or a bass clarinet, or they get a lot of the instruments confused just because they're kind of familiar. The sound itself is very new and interesting to them. It's almost like when I brought my puppy home and he hasn't heard, you know, a door creak, or, you know, hasn't heard a chair, you know, scratch on the floor or something. And you look at the kids as you perform and you realize that they haven't heard this stuff before. And it's, you're creating little new pockets in their brain as they hear you. And those things don't leave you as you get older. You know, you hopefully you hear more of them and they don't ever go away. And then you put the instrument, and two instruments make a different kind of sound when they play together. And then you put all five together. And you add to that the element of teamwork and practice, and it can really be just such a positive thing to give to kids, you know, and to adults too, I think. when you come and hear us play, whether it's for kids or for anybody, you'll be really surprised at what the instruments sound like when you put them together. It's really fun just to kind of watch two different people or three different people in the group play together. And composers, when they write music for the Reed Quintet, try to take advantage of that a lot, too.
I also assume that the Reed family has a certain flexibility in tone and sound and even pitch that you can take advantage of in interesting ways, especially in new music, with this group.
Absolutely. Well, with any musicians coming together to play together, string instruments, I guess everything except for keyboard, you know, or organ, where we're assuming the tuning is set before you show up, and so is most of the tone. You're working so hard on very minute levels to control your pitch and your sound, and more importantly, to work with the people you're playing with to match their tone and sound, and say, you know what, your instrument can do this, mine can't. But can we come to a middle ground? And then here's something I can do. Can you do this too? And then also, like, hey, this note on my instrument, listen, I could play it here, and here. I could play it a little flat, a little sharp. I could put it right in tune. Where do you want it? You know, and you have to do that with any group you play in. And for reed instruments, every instrument has its own unique challenge. Dynamically, each of our instruments has different potentials, different places. For instance, on the saxophone, I have a lot of trouble playing low notes quietly. That's something that's very hard on saxophone. You'll work for years and years to play low notes quietly. So if a composer writes something low and quiet, I have to work as hard as I can, but I also have to ask for a little forgiveness from my colleagues and get some help from them to support me a little bit, because I'm just not going to be able to do what the clarinet can do in the low end, right? And then we work really hard at trying to be as good at clucking, and which is and tonguing and articulating, the way that Ryan and Tim, our bassoonist and oboist, respectively, do on their instruments. The double reed instruments you'll hear have just a real defined ta to the way they articulate when they speak. They speak so clearly, when they do a shorter notes or staccato notes, they do it just so naturally. And the single reed players, Carrie, Andrew, and I, are just sort of like, ugh, what do we do? And how can we help us? You know, help us figure this out. And then, is there anything you two can do to maybe broaden it up a little bit here and there and paint with a slightly different brush, or maybe a slightly fatter brush or something, so that we can all sound a little more together? But then at the same time, you don't want to all try to sound the same, because that's not the point of having five unique voices all the time. So you have to work on that all the time, and it's been a really long process for us.
Well, it also occurred to me that another part of your long process as a reed quintet is building repertoire through transcriptions and through new music. I mean, I talk to brass quintets and woodwind quintets who speak of the challenge of having only 60 or 70 years of original repertoire, whereas I think your available pool of music is much shallower.
Yeah, well, I'd say, let's say our repertoire, let's give it about 25 to 30 years.
Okay, okay.
So that'll take us back to the, you know, basically the very late 20th century. Our primary mission as an ensemble is to basically create that repertoire so that when we do radio programs like this in 60 years, there's some sort of new group complaining about not having any repertoire, and the Reed Quintets come on and say, well, we've got 60 or 70 years. That's our goal. So we work with composers quite a lot, and our transcriptions are meant to bring audiences new looks at classical repertoire, and then also help them understand the importance of new music. All the classics are once new, and so we're creating classics right now, but our goal is, unlike a lot of new music ensembles, our goal is to bring that to wider, more general traditional audiences who aren't really used to it. So our new music has a very colorful, very accessible, very familiar element to it. People often tell us that our new music often sounds more fun and delightful to them than a lot of the classical stuff does. They get a hold of what our new music is all about, and they really, really enjoy it. And so we don't try to bring new music that's overly complex or difficult to understand. We try to bring new music that's really a lot of elements of familiarity. Both of our first two albums are entirely new Reed Quintet music. We're working on our third album right now, which we're in the early planning stages of bringing the composers on board, basically to all come together and build a new album of original Reed Quintet music, work with their peers to come up with some great new repertoire for the Reed Quintet. And so on the concert, it's basically going to be, the first half is going to be transcribed music, Handel, Debussy, and Schumann, and then the second half, three composers. Poulenc, which is, you might know Poulenc, won't be original, but then Tonterdost, a still living Dutch composer, and Robbie McCarthy, a still living American composer. You're going to hear completely different things in the first and second half, but both are very vital to our repertoire. We won't complain about only having 25, 30 years of repertoire. We're on the tip of the spear, kind of, as it were, to building this, and that's exactly where we want to be. We like being here as opposed to having to deal with the burden of the 40 million different interpretations of the Death of the Maiden String Quartet.
My thought on looking at the program is that Acropolis has been quite generous with letting listeners revisit familiar pieces of classical repertoire, like the Schumann Kinderszenen, which is a beloved piano piece, Scenes from Childhood. It'll be very interesting to see how the melodies play out on the different reed instruments.
Absolutely. And I would say we're actually ourselves very curious about that. To this moment, our bassoonist Ryan arranged it out. He took all of Schumann's, every single note Schumann wrote, and thoughtfully decided what we should do to it to make audiences better appreciate the piece, mm-hmm. whether you've heard it or not. And it's going to be a real challenge for us because you have to do a few things when you take a great piano piece and you decide you're going to play it on reed instruments. First of all, you have to respect Schumann's, larger intentions. So, what state of mind was he in? Who did he write this for? And how does this sort of serve, what audience was he trying to serve and what purpose? And then you have to keep that in mind as you're interpreting the music. And you can't get caught up too much in the great interpretations of Schumann because the piano is a completely different instrument than reed instruments, obviously. I play a good bit of piano. I'm playing piano my whole life. I'm not as nearly as good at it as I am at saxophone. But I know enough to know some of the basic differences. We have a lot of things to offer a great melody. Obviously, if you have a wind instrument, you can blow. And so, and just if you have a violin or a string instrument, you can bow. So you can move through notes the way a piano cannot. But at the same time, you know, the piano can do all sorts of things that we can't. And we're really looking forward to the process. It's very similar to the Debussy.
Yeah, I was just, the Debussy Children's Corner seems like just a big bonus after the Kinderszenen.
I think so. It's definitely, well, it's about, well, a good number of years afterward, but the reason we programmed it was basically because it really served a logical progression of how music has been, has transformed over the years. You know, it's a piece where it's written for Debussy's daughter, Chouchou, who he loved so dearly. And it, instead of being really classical, you'll have a tough time hearing distinct melodies. You know, it's in this symbolist era of music where you're just going to hear moods. You're just going to hear impressions, and you're going to hear feelings, little reminiscences. That's a lot of what Debussy's music was. And so as a reed quintet, we can put our blends together and just emote that, and not worry so much about a lot of the other, you know, requirements for how we should interpret Debussy's music. We've been doing this particular piece for 4 or 5 years now, and it's particularly the last movement, the Cakewalk, which I think people will recognize when we play it, really is delightful. I like the way you described it, sort of just a bonus. It's just a really delightful piece of music to round out the first half of the program.
Well, I think we should let listeners try to guess what Robbie McCarthy's four-letter word might be about, and Tonderdos's circus music. All of those have intriguing titles, and it should be a lot of fun to see the Acropolis Reed Quintet take on this new music.
We've never given a concert where we didn't see delight and surprise and very inquisitive audience members come up to us after the concert and talk to us about the music they've heard. People have almost usually never been to a chamber music experience quite like we're going to provide for them. We can't wait to do it. We'll see everybody very soon.
That's great. Thanks for coming to the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck, and thanks for talking to me today.
No worries. Thank you for having us.
The Acropolis Reed Quintet appears at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck on Thursday and Friday nights at 7:30. Full details are at saugatuckmusic.org. I spoke with saxophonist Matt Landry. This is WMUK 102.1 FM.